Grace and peace to you in Christ our Lord. Amen. Okay, the mystery is revealed. Earlier, you were handed a colored pipe cleaner when you received your bulletin. And if you set it down, I'm going to ask you now, please pick it back up. And that includes everyone, adults and children. You're all going to need our pipe cleaners because I'm about to ask you to do something with them. I'm going to ask you if you would please transform this pipe cleaner while I'm preaching into the figure of a person. Now, I realize that's going to be hard for some of you. Yes, I know some of you will say, well, yeah, it's going to be hard because I'm not artistic. But it's also going to be hard because this request represents a significant change in perspective about what we're supposed to be doing during the sermon. I mean, chances are pretty good that you've never had a pastor ask you to do something besides listen during a sermon. And so it's possible that some of you will set this down and resist the assignment, thinking, why would our pastor intentionally ask us to do something that might distract us from the sermon? I know it's a radical change for you, but I need you today to transform your thinking. Or as business people these days are so fond of saying, I need you to think outside the box for a moment. And so I mean this. I'd like you to take the time to turn your pipe cleaner into a person while I'm preaching to you this morning. And if you look at the title for the sermon, it was called Transform This, This Being Your Pipe Cleaner. Well, I trust that while you're working on that assignment, transform your pipe cleaner into a little person, that we can begin to talk about spiritual transformation. Transformation means to change. We all know how hard it is to change. Every one of us as a believer has tried to change. We've tried to change our sinful thoughts. We've tried to improve our Christian conduct throughout the years. All Christians have attempted to study the Bible more often. They've determined to adopt more godly habits. We have attempted to avoid the pitfalls of sin. If we have repeatedly failed in these efforts, at some point we may have given up. Sin often keeps us as Christians from living the holy lives that we know Christ has called us to live. And so sometimes we stop making progress as we live the Christian life simply because it's easier not to try than to risk failure. Because every attempt to change carries with it the risk of failure. And subsequently, the guilt and the frustration that would accompany that failure. Still working? As hard as change is, we need to realize still that God calls us to change after we have come to faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. In fact, God says it today as He speaks to us in His Word about change. He says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be changed, transformed by the renewing of your mind. In essence, what God is telling us here is, change your thoughts so that you think like me. Begin thinking like I do in the Bible instead of thinking like the sinful world around you. Let my word influence you instead of the world. Now that might sound like an impossible expectation on God's part. But consider this, as you consider this, consider God's call for you to change your perspective on your way of thinking. I don't think God would call you to be transformed in your way of thinking if it change. St. Peter is the prime example of a man who got changed significantly over the course of his lifetime in his way of thinking. You'll remember Peter before Pentecost. He would make these brash comments. Later he'd have to retract them. He'd make these bold claims that he could not deliver on. How about when Peter told Jesus he was willing to die for him rather than deny him? Peter hardly followed through on that thought. But after the Holy Spirit worked in Peter, a phenomenal transformation took place. Peter did change. In fact, in the book of Acts, we see Peter as a man who would boldly and repeatedly risk his life to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. God changed Peter into a man with an invincible spirit, a man who could stand and preach to the very people who had crucified Jesus, who preached the gospel of Jesus even in the face of imprisonment and death. You gotta be wondering what transformed Peter's cowardice into such biblical courage and such Christian conviction. And I'll tell you, because the same thing can happen to you. God's word got into Peter's bloodstream so that Peter began to think as God thinks. The Holy Spirit used the gospel of Jesus Christ to transform Peter. We can't change ourselves, but the Holy Spirit can. He can transform our thoughts and our lives so that we begin to grasp the great realities of God's Word, realities that center on Jesus Christ. In today's gospel, if you look at it, we witness Peter before that transformation. I've always been a little bit amused at this text, because Peter here actually is working against God and in favor of Satan. For when Jesus begins to talk about being killed and then raised on the third day, Peter sanctimoniously protests, "I'm not going to let that happen. What happens is Satan uses Peter's emotional appeal to try to get Jesus to lose heart as the world's redeemer. I mean, Jesus could have thought, why try? And why die if even Jesus' closest followers don't appreciate what he's doing for humanity? And so Satan was speaking in Peter's words to try to prevent our Lord from going forward with his plans to die for our sins. Well, if you want to talk about things that you do not want to say to Jesus, Peter's comment, "Lord, don't go to the cross," reveals that he had not yet been transformed. Sometimes I believe our thoughts reveal the same, that we have yet to be fully transformed in our new life in Christ. Talk about things not to say to Jesus. Don't we think things in our hearts like this? "Lord, I'd love to serve you. I could just find more time." Or, "Lord, I want to serve you. Just don't ask me to share my faith with others." Now, it's true. We never say those things. But in the back of our minds, don't we think? Well, Jesus denounced Satan, who was at work in Peter's thoughts and in his words. And he tells Peter to transform his way of thinking. Jesus would explain that Peter had a faulty way of looking at life, because he tells Peter, "Peter, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it." In other words, Jesus reminds Peter, a person can think he's getting ahead in life. A person can think he or she is gaining everything the world has to offer, but be in the process of losing their soul. talks about losing our lives to take up his cross and his cause, we can see that our Lord is talking about a radical transformation that needs to take place in our thinking and in our way of life. I want you to understand this. You are people with faith, and faith in Jesus Christ changes everything. As God creates faith in you, it transforms your whole understanding of God. Faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ changes God from someone we once feared into our Father and our friend. Faith transforms our understanding of this life and how we are to live it. It also transforms our understanding of life after the grave. Faith changes everything, including our understanding of why we were even put on this earth. Let me give you an example of the transforming power of God's Word. The 12th chapter of Romans radically transforms our views on two subjects: our offerings to God and our worship. It tells us what is appropriate as an offering to God, and it may surprise you. For it says it's not just those few dollars that we drop into the collection plate each week, but it is the giving of our entire lives that is truly an appropriate spiritual offering to God. It is what we do with our lives after we have become Christians that reveals our faith in Jesus and our thanks for Him. Becoming a Christian isn't just a curious little footnote in the long saga and story of our lives, but being a Christian changes our whole life story. For our life and our life story is no longer about ourselves. God has transformed our life and our story. Our life has now become the story of Jesus. It's a story about how He offered up His entire holy life to buy us back from sin and death and the devil and to bring us back to God. It's the story about His love for us has prompted our love for Him. And so our life is transformed and becomes the story of this Savior that we now love and serve. What we think, how we live, once we've become Christians, has an impact on every aspect of our lives, far beyond the brief time that we sit in these pews, either one or two or three or four Sundays in the month. For we now live to serve the one who loved us and gave himself for us. My friends, it's not just the little time we spend in this church on Sunday mornings, but it is what you do with the rest of your lives constitutes your worship of God. When we put God first in our lives, we are showing that God has tremendous value and worth to us, and that is worship. And it is only those who live in God's Word and love God's Word who will have this transformed understanding of life. I've encountered far too many Christians these days who think they are on this earth only to earn a living, or to raise a family, or to find personal happiness, or to otherwise enjoy the life that God has given them. And while none of these things is wrong, and all of them are great gifts and blessings from God, this is not the primary reason why you and I, as Christians, remain on this earth. We are here. of our service to Him, He says, is to share His gospel with the world, with our community, with those who live next door to us, with those who work with us, with those who are related to us, with those we associate with. Some of us will say, we haven't been doing that. God says to you this morning, change. Be transformed in your thinking about witnessing, and witness openly of your faith. Now, others will honestly want to do this, and they'll ask, how does this happen? How do I go from a person who has in the past said nothing about my faith to a person who willingly and joyfully shares the good news about Jesus? How do I accomplish this transformation? Still working on your little people? And the answer is, you cannot transform yourself any more than Peter could. When Peter confessed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus had to remind him that that thought did not come from Peter. It was not his own thought, but the Father in heaven had given him the faith to draw this conclusion. And so if you attempt to change because you know the Bible says, well, you ought to change, you'll never change. You will fall flat on your face, in fact, because you will be living under the law as your reason for change. You may have all the best intentions, but you will never become the Christian you want to be if you view witnessing as something that, oh, I guess you got to do if you're going to be considered a Christian. Witnessing cannot be forced upon us as if the law demanded it. But instead, witness must flow from our appreciation of the gospel. On the other hand, if today you determine by faith that you are going to change with the help of God, and you are going to speak about your faith with others and on a regular basis, then you have already been transformed. For God has already worked in your heart. God's word has already begun to transform you, and the proof is that you have the desire to do what pleases God. The motive for change in our text is wonderful. It's where Paul says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. Any real change or transformation in the way we think or we act as Christians must always be motivated by God's mercy shown to us in Jesus. Our mission statement says it. We are a people and a congregation motivated by grace, which means we do everything in view of God's mercy. That phrase, in view of God's mercy, is a reminder that we serve the kingdom of God because we already have the assurance of His love for us in Christ, even before we start serving. While those who are motivated by the law and its guilt serve only to obtain God's love or acceptance. How are your pipe cleaner people coming along? Hold them up. Oh, very good. Well, I know you think Pastor's gone off the deep end of the day, so I might as well go the whole way. Now I want you to do something else you've never done in a sermon. At least not with the pastor's permission. I want you to close your eyes. Seriously, I mean it, I want you to close your eyes. I know some of you already jumped ahead earlier in the sermon. that that sick person can represent, who needs to know about God's love and mercy in Christ like you do, and who needs that spiritual transformation we've all been discussing. I want you to envision someone in your life who may already be a Christian but does not have a church home where they can come to continue to be transformed. And now, with your eyes closed, I want you to pray for that person. And I want you to ask God that He would give you the courage and the opportunity that you could reach out to that person. And I'll give you a little. And now you may open your eyes. On Sunday, September 18th, we are going to host a Family and Friends Sunday in both services. You'll be reading about this in the bulletin and in the newsletter. And even if you have never done this before, let Christ transform you on that day so that you invite a person or persons to church. Offer to pick them up. Offer to sit with them during the church. Offer to help them understand our complicated order of service. Offer to stay with them and introduce them to church friends as we have coffee between services. Maybe you can even offer to run down so there's a donut left for them. Offer to take them out to church after, or out to lunch after church. Offer them your ongoing friendship and concern. Offer your Christian advice and prayers. And offer to attend the new member class that I'm beginning on the next Sunday, the 25th. But most importantly, remember that by offering this invitation, you are offering them the chance for a new and transformed life in Christ. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding,